SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. A critical portion of the NFL calendar has now come to a close early here in the offseason. We react to it on this Wednesday following the end of the franchise tag window around the National Football League. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Glad to be here with you up until 1 p.m. Eastern time. Scott, yesterday, 4 p.m. Eastern time was the end of the franchise tag window around the National Football League, a 14-day span where you could tag an eligible candidate on your roster with a franchise tag. At the end of the two-week tag window, 9 guys around the NFL placed under the franchise tag or transition tag for 2024's NFL campaign. We'll react to the 9 guys now under the tag. What is next? What's the next important date on the NFL offseason calendar? And maybe more importantly, some of the names that were not tagged that will get to test the waters in free agency and see what the offseason and future holds for them. But it's a key portion of the early going of this NFL offseason. We'll bring you all the news and notes you need today on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, always fun. You know, if you were an expansion team, Ben, and just were starting at ground zero, think about the team you could sign if you had the money and these guys wanted to sign with you, right? You could have a team with Kirk Cousins as your starting quarterback, a backfield of Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, wide receivers Michael Pittman and Odell Beckham Jr. You got an offensive line bolstered by Tyron Smith, and then you got a defense that needs some help, but you know, you got you're starting with Chris Jones and maybe Leonard Williams. You know, not bad. You got some big time free agent names. Who knows how much they have left, but not being right. Franchised and being let go, you could put yourself together a halfway decent football team.
2019, Scott, that team might win a Super Bowl championship. Yes. We'll see exactly what is left in the tank for some of those guys, but it's a part of their value conversation now that they will get to test the free agency markets this offseason and beyond in the NFL. Let's make sure we bring in our Sirius XM audience here on Channel 159. That is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. This is Football Full Circle on a Wednesday following the franchise tag window, the early stages of this NFL offseason, and what is to come next. So the 9 guys, Scott, around the National Football League placed under the franchise tag. 2 names before the closing hours of that Tuesday deadline. Cincinnati's T. Higgins, Kansas City's L'Jarius Sneed. Then 6 guys yesterday in the closing hours before that deadline window closed up. As it stands around the National Football League, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Antoine Winfield Jr., for the Indianapolis Colts, Michael Pittman Jr., for the Jacksonville Jaguars, edge rusher Josh Allen, for Carolina, edge rusher Brian Burns. The Bears place the franchise tag on cornerback Jalen Johnson. The Ravens place it on defensive tackle Justin Matabike. And the New England Patriots place the transition tag, less common than the franchise tag, but still a part of this tag window, on safety Kyle Duggar. So those 9 guys in total, Scott, for their 9 respective NFL organizations. Any names in there, particularly the guys yesterday, because we've reacted already to L'Jarius Sneed for the Chiefs and T. Higgins for the Bengals. Of the 6 guys, Scott, in the closing hours before that deadline on a Tuesday afternoon, which name or potential a group of names stands out to you the most?
Josh Allen, maybe with the Jaguars. We kind of heard his name last year, too. I mean, he's on the cusp of being real considered. Well, he is considered anyway. But he's not an everyday, walk down the street, ask 10 people who Josh Allen are, right? And all 10 are going to tell you the Buffalo Bills quarterback. So he's kind of sitting behind Josh Allen from that standpoint. But he's terrific. He's the core of that defense. You'd like to think they would get something done with him and say, all right, you're going to be our guy for the next 4 or 5 years rather than franchise him. They could still obviously get that done. But, you know, when you're franchising a guy at this point, that means you've tried for the most part and you haven't come to terms. And unless something crazy happens, they probably won't get done. So, but he would be the one out of all those that, like, well, what is Jacksonville doing, Ben? You know, are they a team of the future? You know, you get the second round of the playoffs last year. This past season, obviously, you don't even get to the postseason. You got a quarterback situation. Is he really your guy? He, you know, shows some signs, Trevor Lawrence, but has he really taken that next step? Not really. kind of in limbo, that franchise, and now even with Josh Allen. Make a commitment and just say you're our guy.
Yeah, absolutely so, Scott. And that's really the interesting component, in my estimation, of what being placed under the franchise tag means. A lot of players do not see it as a beneficial, positive thing to remain with this organization. It is not necessarily that NFL front office telling you, we value you, we love you, we want to make you be here as a member of our roster. If that was the case, you would negotiate and come to a long-term contract extension. And that is still a plausibility based on being placed under the franchise tag. That next step for these guys under the tag, Scott, they have until July 15th, right before training camp begins in large part around the NFL, to negotiate with their respective NFL franchise to come to that long-term contract extension. So just because Josh Allen is currently under the franchise tag does not mean by the middle of May he cannot come to a long-term deal with Jacksonville that keeps him as the cornerstone of that Jags defense for a long time to come. But that's the crux of the problem. To be placed under the franchise tag guarantees a year. It doesn't really mean anything beyond that, at least in its current juncture. So if you are Jacksonville and you look at a defense, Scott, that struggled last year, obviously the injuries to Trevor Lawrence as they continue to stack up down the final month and a half, probably the more likely reason that Jacksonville stumbled, losing five of its final six games and not being able to clinch the AFC South for a second consecutive season. But with that being said, Scott, a Jacksonville defense that has struggled at times, you have the face of that side of the football in Josh Allen. The franchise tag is not good enough, because if you place the franchise tag on him right now, sure, he might play under it in 2024. It does not guarantee anything beyond for him as that cornerstone piece of the Jacksonville defense. So that's the really interesting thing, Scott, with the franchise tag. It is not a be-all, end-all. It is not yesterday, Tuesday, March 5th, franchise tag placed. That's the end of the conversation until we get to the start of training camp in late July. Obviously, there are a lot of steps that can be taken, but it does set an interesting precedent. How does this franchise feel about you? Obviously, they don't want you to test the open market. That could be in good faith to keep you in-house so you're not having to hear and be contacted by 31 other teams, but they're trying to work with you to get that long-term contract extension. Or is it seen, Scott, by most of these players as kind of a slight, and now everything that happens is kind of sour taste between your representation and the front office?
You know, and that's where the front office comes into play, right? And has to go to, in this case, Allen and say, hey, listen, you know what? We want you. You want us. We're negotiating. We don't know where we're going. What are the issues on our roster? So we're going to franchise you. But we're doing that just because we like you and we hope to get something resolved down the line. Now, that would be like, to me, okay, you know what? Great. I'm going to be here. We're just basically buying time. But if you don't handle it the right way, then you have Allen, in this case, getting ticked off and thinking, all right, you're never going to come to my terms. And now you're going to franchise me, even though you get a decent salary. Let's not pretend these guys are, you know, going to the poorhouse when you get franchised, but they take it as an insult just the same. And if you don't handle it the right way, then you can alienate your star player.
True, and that's a really good point, right? You're going to get a decent salary for 1 year, but is that your true market value? Which obviously benefits the team to keep you under that market value to fill out your roster with the rest of the cap room. And that's really the crux of the conversation as well that we will continue to have on the other side of the break, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle, following the ending of the franchise tag window around the National Football League. So, Scott, you brought up a point right before the break. That is very interesting. Depending on which position you play around the NFL and how long you have been with your organization, that is your franchise tag value. A lot of these guys are going to make a good annual salary entering starting next year, north of $19, $20, $23 million. That's pretty much what we're looking at. But part of the reason the franchise tag might not be seen as the most positive thing is it's not truly what their market value is. If that player were to test free agency, they would get a much bigger deal worth more in annual average salary, and it would be guaranteed, or at least a portion of that salary would be guaranteed. That's why often players look at being placed under the franchise tag, not already restructuring and reworking a deal with your organization, or being able to walk free and test free agency. That's why the franchise tag is not always the best thing to be under, at least from the player perspective, and the organization really takes the benefit of it.
Yeah, although I'll never understand, I mentioned this before, I'll never understand why the players ever agreed to this, and I don't think I'll really ever understand why they get that depressed about it. You know, maybe if you're, you know, a guy that's just an absolute superstar, and I hate to spend other people's money, but, you know, if you're a linebacker, that means you're going to make $24 million. You're a defensive tackle, you're going to make $22 million. Defensive end, $21-plus million. I mean, this is not chump change. I get it. You're right, Ben. On the open market, they probably can get a 3 or 4 year deal with at least 2 years guaranteed. So it really isn't, you know, market value. You're getting the better end of the deal if you're the team. But, you know, to me, it's not the end of the world. I don't want to collect money if I'm not producing. If I'm producing, I'll get another contract the following year. If I'm not producing, I don't want to get paid $24 million if I'm going to be on the sidelines or I'm not doing my job. So, you know, it shouldn't be such an insult to some of these players. It really shouldn't. Go out there and perform, and you'll get paid again next year. It's only 1 year, realistically, right? There's only a handful of guys. There's a few, but for the most part, you get franchised one time. That's it. So suck it up. Yeah. Have another good year. Prove your worth, and you know, and make and settle for only $20-plus million.
But, yeah, I do also think, though, Scott, from the team perspective, it's not like, hey, we need to see you prove it to make sure that you are worth this money. It's also, hey, we can get this really good player who might be worth, let's say, market $30 to $35 million annually, still at a $21 million per year salary under that franchise tag. That allows us to still have this incredible talent on whatever side of the football it is, save close to $10 million or whatever it might be in cap space to spend elsewhere to fill up our roster, to be that true division or conference or Super Bowl contending team that we expect to be. And there are some, like we got the report from Adam Schefter yesterday of ESPN around Antoine Winfield Jr., the young and talented safety for the Buccaneers, that although he is under the franchise tag, the Bucs hope to have a long-term contract extension done with him now. You just want to place the tag on him in that current window so that when the league year starts exactly a week from today, and when you can start being contacted by NFL teams on Monday at noon Eastern time, Antoine Winfield Jr. is not hearing from insert X team here that's going to say, hey, we're going to give you $40 million a year. And the Bucs are like, whoa, we were going to give him $25 million a year. Obviously, these are fake numbers and done to make a point. But that's part of the reason to keep somebody under the franchise tag, even if you still do have hopes and are optimistic that you can renegotiate a long-term contract extension. But, you know, Scott, that's really kind of where the conversation is. There are those players that are, hey, it's prove it. Make sure you are worth your money. Come back. There are positions, unfortunately, like the running back spot, that really just don't match up with the value of a long-term contract extension. And then there are the team benefits of a front office saying, if we can keep this guy at least on the franchise tag as we try to rework a negotiation with him while he's still in-house and not hearing from other NFL teams, that benefits our team, our franchise moving forward.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is that, you know, the team is buying time, right? Let's use Josh Allen as an example. Okay, we like Josh. You know, do we think he's really a superstar? You know, I don't know. He gets about 50, 60 tackles a year for a linebacker. That's not exactly great, but we like him. We want to keep him. Let's see. Well, why don't we see, we'll franchise him, knowing full well that we could trade him still, which I still think is just moronic for the players to ever agree to that. Now we can go into the NFL draft and say, maybe we get ourselves a middle linebacker or outside linebacker, whatever the case may be. And now we don't necessarily need Josh Allen. So you're kind of buying time if you're the NFL team as well. If you're on the fence, do we really want to commit to this guy 3, 4, 5 years? I don't know. Let's franchise him. Let's go through the draft. Let's see what we can get. If we have a player we think we can replace him, then we'll draft that guy, and then we'll either keep Allen for the 1 year or we could trade him.
And that's a huge part of it as well. And just because you're under the franchise tag does not mean other teams cannot reach out and try to hear what a potential trade proposal might look like. Scott, if you take it back a year from where we were, when the Ravens franchise tagged Lamar Jackson, our next conversation was, all right, no long-term deal seems imminent in Baltimore. Which team around the National Football League is about to trade for Lamar Jackson? Of course, there wasn't a ton of interest for whatever reason, either based on what Lamar was asking for, what the money had to be. But one of the reasons that if you are going to be traded, you could still be under the franchise tag if your organization had not already spent it on somebody else. One of the reasons the trade market might not be all that valuable is because if you trade for somebody under the tag and they're not happy to be under the tag and the team was willing to let them walk in whatever trade proposal might be there, that new team that acquires said player under the franchise tag more than likely is going to have to negotiate to find that long-term deal as well.
Yeah, you don't want to trade for a guy who's disgruntled, not to mention you might lose him after a year anyway. So you right. basically have to negotiate a contract with this guy. That's why you don't see it too often. You know, most teams kind of like stay away from other teams' business, right? You know,
yep.
I think there is a collusion underneath the table there of just like, you know what, you deal with your guy. We're not going to go after Saquon Barkley. We're not going to go after Josh Jacobs. We're not going to go after this guy or that guy. You do what you have to do. We'll do what we have to do, and then we'll kind of, you know, go our separate ways. You don't see too many teams negotiating or players negotiating with other clubs and getting deals done on the side.
Right. And again, they have until July 15th, these nine players placed under either the franchise or transition tag, to still be in contact, to still be in conversation with their respective NFL clubs to try to reach that long-term extension. If you get to July 15th and the deadline passes, you either play under the franchise tag, you can renegotiate a short-term deal like we saw with Josh Jacobs with the Raiders and Saquon Barkley with the New York Giants right before camp, or you hold out and you hope something changes before you start losing your game check. Scott, of those nine guys, I think there's a couple of spots in there where we are going to see some reworked long-term contract extensions. Josh Allen in Jacksonville. I think Antoine Winfield Jr. is certainly a potential piece for the Buccaneers. I think the hope still in Cincinnati is to do that with T. Higgins, and maybe the same in Indianapolis with Michael Pittman Jr. Do you think any of those nine guys, either the ones I've mentioned or others, does reach that obviously highly desired long-term contract deal?
I would think Pittman would with the Colts, but boy, we've seen Ursay do some funky things, right? He could be one stubborn SOB if he wants to. You know, we saw it last year, but I'd be surprised with a young quarterback, you know, a team that showed a lot of promise last year, and Pippen is a big part of that. I'd be a little surprised if he didn't get a long-term contract. I don't know about Higgins. You know, Higgins is terrific. I'd take him on my team in a heartbeat, but he's the type of player that you should be able to replace. You know, if you're worried about paying Joe Burrow and you're worried about paying Jamar Chase, as they are, you can't pay all these guys. He would be the one. Like, listen, he's the number two wide receiver. Maybe be number one on someone else's team, but for us, he's number two. Those are the type of guys you can replace.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, and that's one of the things, too, where both Chris Ballard and Zach Taylor and others with the Bengals and Colts were asked about this during Combine Week in Indianapolis, and both were pretty sound in the idea that T. Higgins would be back with the Bengals, maybe not even just under the franchise tag. Same with Michael Pittman Jr. in Indy. How about the guys that weren't tagged? We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. The franchise tag window came and passed yesterday at 4 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday, March 5th. So here on Wednesday, March 6th, Scott, it's not just the nine guys who were placed under either the franchise or transition tag around the National Football League. It was some of the potential candidates that were not and have been left to walk into free agency and see what the market holds. Some notable names that were not tagged that could have been: Baker Mayfield, quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this past season and maybe beyond. He will now become a free agent when the league year starts exactly a week from today. We'll talk about that timeline in just a moment. Chris Jones was eligible, but the Chiefs chose to place the tag on Legarius Sneed. Chris Jones's value was a little bit higher in terms of what the usual franchise tag number, the average franchise tag number, would have been for an interior defensive lineman. None of the running backs were tagged. Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift. None were placed under the franchise tag by the respective teams. Christian Wilkins, the defensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins, not tagged either, nor was Calvin Ridley for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jags using the tag on defensive and edge rusher combo Josh Allen. Scott, of that group, who stands out that was not placed under the franchise tag and will test the free agency waters?
I would go with Austin Eckler of the Chargers, just because with Harbaugh coming in, you know, you think you're going to turn things around. You want to sell your fan base. We're going to win now. We got a terrific quarterback. We got a new head coach. Eckler's always been a big part of offense. You know, and I was hearing stories yesterday. Well, they could replace Eckler with Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs or Tony Pollard. But if you're not going to pay Eckler, then what makes you think you're going to be able to pay Saquon Barkley? You know, Barkley's not going to come in $2 million, $3 million cheaper than Eckler or either any of those guys. I think all those guys, yeah, agents, are all going to probably get together, Ben, and say, you know what? Whether you're Derrick Henry or DeAndre Swift or Eckler or Barkley, here's our, you know, this is where we should all be, guys. We should all be, you know, asking for $8, $9, $10 million a year, if not even higher. So Eckler's the one. Just, you know, every time you think the Chargers are doing something right by bringing Harbaugh in, they do something stupid by maybe letting Eckler walk. You know, even if it's the franchise tag, you know, the one thing about the franchise tag, it is just 1 year. You know what I mean? All right, so maybe you swing and miss on Eckler or any of these other running backs and they just bottom out. All right, so for 1 year, you're paying $10 million for a first-year franchise running back. Is that going to crush your salary cap? I don't think so. It's not like a $25, $35 million salary that, oh, my gosh, we missed and struck out on. So why wouldn't you bring this guy back? Even if it's just to say, all right, we want to negotiate with you on a long-term deal, a 2 or 3 year deal, but let's start with the franchise tag. Little surprise with Eckler.
Yeah, I was as well, Scott. Again, we had Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, the new one in Los Angeles, who was the former OC in Baltimore, was Jim Harbaugh's former offensive coordinator in San Francisco, even say that, can you imagine what Justin Herbert is going to do with a solid ground game? And then you're going to let Austin Eckler walk. Maybe it didn't make any sense. Maybe the value wasn't there, even at the running back position, for the tune of just over $10 million for Austin Eckler, for whatever reason. He will test free agency. And Scott, I think that's an interesting place to start with the running backs, because I don't think these guys are going to not have homes, right? They're going to be unemployed for a very long amount of time. It might take into the summer months. It might get closer to training camp. But I believe Saquon Barkley will be playing somewhere, maybe even in New York in 2024. I believe Austin Eckler will be on an NFL team this upcoming season as well. Same with Derrick Henry. But what do those numbers look like? Scott, one of the comparisons I made earlier today on the early line was when Dalvin Cook was released last offseason by Minnesota. That was rather shocking. A guy that was coming off four straight years of at least 1,100 yards on the ground, four straight Pro Bowl seasons as well. Everybody was like, okay, now you could add Dalvin Cook at a discount to your team. It took a while. It wasn't until training camp had just got started for the New York Jets where they signed Dalvin Cook to a one-year $5.8 million fully guaranteed deal. Of course, it did not work out with the New York Jets for Dalvin Cook, but that's what one of the best running backs on the open market last year got in terms of a deal. We have not seen a running back sign a long-term contract extension since Nick Chubb about 3 years ago, and that's the precarious nature of what these running backs have to endure now entering this offseason.
Yeah, and not to mention all the guys that are going to be coming from the draft.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time, right? I mean, it's not that the running back position isn't important. It just seems to be like it's hard to separate yourself. There's so much emphasis on the offensive line now. And anybody can run through these holes. You know, everyone runs a 4-3-4 now, you know? So it's not like anyone is better than anyone else. That's the perception. Whether it's reality or not, you know, you can be debatable. I'll give you a good example, Ben. You know, George and I were laughing about this yesterday. New York Giants with Barkley, right? You know, he was their leading rusher last year, right around 900 yards or so. Not quite the year he had the year before. You know, their second leading rusher was a quarterback. Their third leading rusher was a quarterback. Their fourth leading rusher was a quarterback. That's how it, you had to go down to the fifth position on the Giants depth chart to find another running back that was in the top five as far as a yardage for the New York Giants. So he was their entire running game. You know, the Raiders are similar, not quite that bad, but I don't think I've ever seen that, by the way. Three of your top four rushers are quarterbacks. That is as bizarre gets. But what happens, though, if they don't have them next year? Are they going to find someone that's going to replace them that easily? It's very easy to say yes, but when you consider Matt Breida at 150 yards was the Giants' next leading rusher for a running back, sometimes these teams think these guys are replaceable, and you know, a lot of times they're not.
Yeah, it is a really difficult thing, right? Who is going to be that next guy up? They drafted Eric Gray out of Oklahoma last year as well. I don't necessarily know what the New York Giants are going to do, but oftentimes they look at a rookie running back or somebody that can be taken in the late rounds and say, this guy is doing enough for us, or maybe it's just where that franchise is. It's got a couple of names that I listed, the two first names. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers placed their franchise tag on Antoine Winfield Jr. and not Baker Mayfield. The Kansas City Chiefs placed their franchise tag on Lejarius Sneed and not Chris Jones. For a variety of reasons, for Chris Jones, his franchise tag value was actually a little bit higher than what it would just be for an interior defensive lineman, and for a quarterback for Baker Mayfield, it was going to be astronomical. Now, I do believe both of those guys will agree to some sort of contract extension with the team they played for a season ago and be back. Chris Jones for Kansas City, Baker for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I would say Baker's got a better chance of going back to Tampa Bay. But, you know, Baker was a free agent last year, and basically no one wanted him. So did he resurrect his career that much that all of a sudden teams are going to be flocking to go get Baker Mayfield? You know, it's kind of like, do you want to live in purgatory? He's going to be good. He's going to be better than what we have. But is he going to really take us to the Super Bowl? That would be the question I'd have with Baker Mayfield. And I don't think a team is going to give him a 3-year guaranteed contract. I could see like a Daniel Jones contract, you know, 4 years, but 2 years really only guaranteed. I think he did earn 2 years guaranteed. Someone will probably do him that. But with the quarterback position getting paid $35, $40 million, right, that's going to be his asking price. So are you going to invest $80 million in Baker Mayfield? I could see Tampa Bay saying yes. I don't know if any other team would do that, though. So I think Baker will be back with Tampa Bay more than Jones will be back with Kansas City. And Jones would be the one I'd be a little leery of. Just, you know, he's got his Super Bowls now, and now it's clearly all about the money, which is fine. But you get guys like that that have already won, and they're more concerned about, you know, going to the bank every other Friday with a 7-figure paycheck. That's when the production tends to drop off. Whereas at least with Baker, he's still striving to become great.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about Baker Mayfield as well, though, Scott. For a guy that was always going to be that number one guy, at least he was the number one overall draft pick, to make his way to Tampa last year was a little bit different. If you remember the deal that he signed with the Buccaneers last offseason, 1-year deal worth $4 million, could be up to about $8.5 million based on incentives. That's a discount for what Baker Mayfield was able to do in terms of his production last year. Lead the Buccaneers to a divisional crown in the NFC South, and of course, a playoff win over the Eagles as well. He is not coming back for $8 million. He is not coming back for $4 million. So now you just have to wonder, what exactly does that price look like where it makes sense based on value to bring Baker Mayfield back? That is the very interesting thing, Scott, for me, as you look at Baker Mayfield and his return to Tampa.
All right, so what would be the price for you if you're Tampa Bay? The Baker's going to ask for the moon. So if you're Tampa Bay, where do you draw the line in the sand saying, Baker, we're not going to go past this?
I would probably do a 2 to 3 year deal of sorts where you can start playing with the money and what is guaranteed up front, kind of even like the New York Giants did, although we poke fun at Daniel Jones getting $40 million a year. The Giants can get out after this season, 2 years into what looks like a 4 year deal. So maybe there is some of those assurances, Scott, for Baker Mayfield. He's going to get $30 million, you would think, just based on where the quarterback market is in the National Football League, if not upwards of 35, maybe even approaching 40, but I would do something in terms of structuring the deal, structuring the contract where it's front-loaded and there are outs in terms of cap hit and all that stuff if it doesn't work out with Baker long-term in Tampa.
Yeah. Think about this. Now, the franchise tag was $38 million for a quarterback. So the Bucs said, no, we don't want to give you at least $38 million. And maybe they wanted to use that on Antoine Winfield anyway, but I would think the Bucs would be in that $30 to $35 million range, whereas they think Baker would be in the $35 to $40 million range.
Yeah. I think that probably makes a little bit of sense for where that goes. We'll continue to have the conversation around the franchise tag window, what some NFL teams are doing to save cap space. That's next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So, exactly 1 week from today, the NFL new league year gets started. That means that everything that can happen in free agency begins exactly a week from today, officially. But Scott, here in the early portion of the offseason around the NFL, there are the important dates to know, and that includes Monday, noon Eastern time, when you can start to contact players around the National Football League as an NFL organization. So do not be surprised, despite the actual league year starting exactly a week from today, when all these maneuvers and moves and deals and contracts can become official, if you see a tweet from ESPN's Adam Schefter or NFL Network's Ian Rappaport detailing a new deal for Calvin Ridley or detailing a new deal for a Russell Wilson or a Kirk Cousins. That will spell out everything in that deal, but just will not be official until the league year starts 1 week from today.
Yeah, well, more reports about Kirk Cousins with Atlanta, right? So the question I'd have for you, Ben, now is right now the Falcons are 40-1. Two questions. One, if they announce, you know, next week, okay, that Kirk is going to Atlanta, where does that number go from 40-1 to what? And two, is it worth betting the Atlanta Falcons right now at 40-1 for a couple of shekels, just knowing that those odds are going to drop? And but ultimately, does he make them a Super Bowl winning team? Not a playoff team, not a win first round. I mean, you know, when you do these tickets, we always think about, okay, you know, get into the playoffs, we can start hedging, which is what I do all the time. But just realistically, are they going to get to the Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins? Is it worth buying in right now at 40-1?
I don't think so, Scott. I do not. I would look maybe right now, if you believe there is smoke that Kirk Cousins could make his way to Atlanta, I would maybe jump on the plus 140 number to win the NFC South, because then I would think they would have that true front-runner build, despite right now being the favorites. I don't really feel the Falcons are the favorites, and maybe that is baked into the number that the Falcons get a new quarterback as well. No, I do not believe that Kirk Cousins makes the Falcons a Super Bowl contender or even an NFC Championship contender, really, either. Again, if they win the NFC South, they're going to host a playoff game. They're three wins away from playing in a Super Bowl, and at least one would be at home, again, if they win the division. But I don't really believe that Kirk Cousins makes them a true contender, so I don't know if you're beating the number at 40-1. You could have that good value in cash out options later in the year, or hedge out options potentially, but no, I don't really believe that Kirk Cousins would make the Atlanta Falcons that team to beat in the NFC.
But at that plus 140, bring up a good point, Ben, with the NFC South numbers, right? They're the overwhelming favorite to win that division at plus 140. Tampa Bay 240, Saints 280, and then Carolina 7-1. I think there's a much better chance that Baker gets back to Tampa Bay, even though I do think Kirk might end up in Atlanta. But I think there's a better chance of Tampa Bay re-signing Baker Mayfield, yet they are the clear second choice. So clearly the boys in Vegas think the Falcons are going to be getting Kirk Cousins, right? Because otherwise they don't have a quarterback. So, I mean, there's no monster quarterback out there, you know, unless you want to say Baker, that, okay, if the Falcons don't get Kirk Cousins, they're going to get, Carson Wentz, or they're going to go get, whoever, Gardner Minshew. That would make them, to me, the overwhelming favorite like they are.
Yeah, that's where you have to think, Scott. That number is baked in, right?
Yeah.
It would almost be like, this is a quarterback Atlanta Falcons number. That's why I was surprised when these divisional odds came out last week that the Falcons were in front of both the Buccaneers and the Saints. That's a quarterback number. Kirk Cousins, probably first and foremost. Could it be another free agent? Could it be a Russell Wilson? Could it be a Baker Mayfield? Could it be a trade for one Justin Fields, as many people have rumored that the Atlanta area native could return back home? Maybe, but regardless of which quarterback it is, that is a quarterback number. And I would agree with the fact that if Kirk Cousins is in Atlanta, they should be booked as the front runners. By a dollar, if Baker Mayfield returns to Tampa with Derek Carr back in New Orleans, and we'll see what happens with the Saints overall, I'm not entirely sure. Do I think it makes Atlanta a double-digit win football team? Guaranteed? By no means. But I do believe it would make them the front runner of a bad division where maybe 9 to 10 wins them the division like it did just a season ago.
Yeah. I tell you, this Atlanta Falcon team, Ben, is really setting itself up to be a major pain in the butt for their new head coach and the new regime there. I mean, all of a sudden we're talking about this Falcon team like they're the greatest team in the world, and it was all Arthur Smith's fault. I mean, Arthur Smith was an offensive guy. It doesn't really kind of make sense on paper why the Falcons weren't better. So was it because the Falcons were led by Arthur Smith, who couldn't get it done as a head coach, but Ken as an offensive coordinator? Or was it because these guys are really just overrated and they're not as good as people thought they were? But the perception is that, like, they're just a quarterback away from, being Super Bowl contenders here. And it's just like, be careful. I mean, this team has been a mediocre football team, since Matt Ryan, in his heyday, the last few years. So you're almost set up to fail is what I'm getting at as a new head coach. So I hope Raheem Morris can put, things in the right direction there. But I don't know if they're necessarily just a quarterback away. And I don't even know if that quarterback is Kirk Cousins. I don't see any Super Bowl rings on his fingers. So it's a precarious situation in Atlanta.
Yeah. And I think there are differing levels in who those quarterbacks are. I think Kirk Cousins is probably the cream of the crop. I think Justin Fields still has an optimistic future in a new situation. By no means do I think Justin Fields this year makes an Atlanta Falcons team an NFC championship contender. Scott, there was a thought last year, even knowing that quarterback play was not great in Atlanta, and maybe having some hope for Desmond Ridder, who was the third round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons in 2022, or maybe Taylor Heinicke, who was a winner, could craft this team together, that with an 8.5 win total in the over having the juice, this Falcons team, based on the talent elsewhere, could win the division. I remain skeptical because of the quarterback play. I guess I would remain slightly skeptical of the Atlanta Falcons in any bigger picture conversation than slight front runner in the NFC South. Again, you want to make them the favorites? All good. You want to make them an odds-on favorite if they get Kirk Cousins? No, you want to make them a $1.50 favorite in front of both the Buccaneers and the Saints if it's Justin Fields or it's Russell Wilson that walks in the door. I would also push back against that ever so slightly. The Falcons can be a front runner with consistent quarterback play, but I would want to see it. And Scott, we've had questions about Kirk Cousins, truly what his ceiling is or what the ceiling of a team that he is the starting quarterback for can be. I don't think just because he were to leave Minnesota and go somewhere new with a fresh start, that necessarily raises the ceiling of that franchise either.
Yeah. You're living in purgatory. Are you really ever going to win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins? I don't think so, unless you have the perfect defense, you know, which is why the Steelers kind of come to mind. I don't think you're ever going to win when you're going into those football games thinking we need to score 26, 27, 28, 30 points. If you went to a football game thinking, you know, okay, we could score 17 and 20 and win games that way, then maybe. But his resume doesn't say success in the postseason, doesn't say success right. in big-time games, doesn't say success in nationally televised games, which means a little bit more pressure. I mean, I have enough of a sample size to know what Kirk Cousins can deliver. Is he better than half the quarterbacks in the league? Yeah, probably. Probably is, believe it or not. But is he a Super Bowl-winning quarterback and he's going to take my team to the big game? I don't think so.
Yeah, and listen, I don't think I'm as much of a detractor on Kirk Cousins as many people out there. I think some of the primetime numbers are slightly inflated when you actually look at what he did during his career with the Vikings and his time there. But with all that being said, like you said, Scott, better than half the quarterbacks in the league, top 10, top 15, at least top 15. Yeah, I'd slot him in the top 15 right here, right now. Top 10? At certain junctures of his career, statistically, maybe you could make an argument. Could he be one of the five best in the NFC that is not nearly as strong quarterback-wise as the AFC? Absolutely so. But we're talking about a guy that I'm pretty sure that I looked this up a couple of weeks ago. We're talking about a guy in Kirk Cousins who is 35 years old right now. He turns 36 on August 19th. That will be before the NFL season starts in 2024. You're talking about a 36-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles injury that ended his season in 2023. It is not necessarily, all right, this guy is absolutely incredible. He is ready to go out there and lead a Super Bowl run. These are a lot of complicating factors for Kirk Cousins wherever he ends up, even if that is back in Minnesota. But Scott, some of the conversation, by the way, following the combine in Indianapolis this past weekend, is that Minnesota seems pretty convinced they're going after a quarterback, and I'm not sure it's Kirk Cousins. So the idea of Kirk actually being a free agent when the league year starts this upcoming week seems to have a little bit more steam behind it, and it's not just smoke at this time.
Yeah, I would have thought by now they would have gotten this thing done if he was going to re-sign with Minnesota.
Yeah.
Unless Minnesota just says, hey, listen, here's our price. You know, you want to sign, come back with us, get a chance to win. You've been here a number of years, put it all together. We'll take a chance on you, but you're going to have to come back on our price. And I don't think Kirk Cousins is willing to do that. So he's been about money. God bless him. He's been able to work the system to his favor. But I kind of doubt he's going to give the Vikings a hometown discount. All this talk about his wife being from Atlanta, and I heard some guys talk about how supposedly they were in the area looking for schools and houses and all this other stuff. So I don't think he's going to be back with Minnesota next year, even if it's not with Atlanta.
Yeah, I agree as well. I don't think he's going to be with the Vikings, which would make a couple of potential teams lurking in free agency that might not have the best draft stock to go get a number one quarterback to look for Kirk Cousins. The Falcons would be the front runner. The Raiders would be a team to follow. Maybe the Broncos. It depends on where teams fall and what they have their sights set on in terms of those young quarterback prospects in this 2024 NFL draft class. Elsewhere around the NFL, Scott, the Seattle Seahawks making some moves yesterday, releasing both of their starting safeties that were on their week one depth chart entering last year, Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs. So they're making this move to save more than $34 million in terms of cap space for this upcoming season. It's a new regime in Seattle under Mike McDonald after 14 years under Pete Carroll. We expected some changes, and here's the start of it.
Yeah, Jamal Adams, that's the one that stands out, right? After giving up not one but two first-round picks in a trade with the Jets, he could never stay healthy with Seattle. But even if he was, you know, I mean, some of these contracts, Ben, you know, you hear about how much money they're going to save, and he would have counted this against the salary cap. You know, even if Jamal Adams was, like, really, really good, he was going to set almost $27 million against the salary cap this year. I mean, why would you sign a guy to a contract like that where you know you're going to have this balloon cap and you're basically just circling, okay, this is the year we're going to whack you, even if you're really, really good, because we're not going to do $26 or $27 million. Maybe they could have reworked it, I suppose, but it just didn't work out. It really didn't work out at all the moment they got him. So gave up a ton. They're going to move on. Some of these teams are really just going back to the pack. You know, they're really starting at it like rock bottom with some of these guys. And Seattle is the case. So Disley not surprised. Diggs not surprised. But the Adams one, just a complete bust.
Yeah, really is. And we've seen that now. Scott, a couple of big trades with the Seahawks, either which way, that have not really gone the way of the team that sent the guy other or that got the guy in those certain situations. We're back on Football Full Circle with just a few more minutes on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. That is FFC. Scott, there are some reports, I guess you could say, or rumors being circulated from the NFL scouting combine over the weekend by NFL Network's Rich Eisen, who said on his show that the Giants are absolutely done with Daniel Jones, which I find interesting, as New York does have a top 10 draft pick for the 2024 NFL draft. Do you think, Scott, there is a chance the Giants select a quarterback at sixth overall?
Yes, but I don't think they're absolutely done with Daniel Jones. I mean, that wouldn't make any sense. I mean, if you were going to be done with Daniel Jones, you would have been done with Daniel Jones 2 years ago. It's the same head coach and it's the same GM that signed Daniel Jones to this four-year crazy contract, albeit two guaranteed. Last year, you can't hold it against him. Last year, you know, when he played, he was fine. He just got hurt. So why would all of a sudden things change for the head coach and GM to say that they're absolutely done with him? I don't think that's the case at all. But I do think that they may draft a quarterback. That, I think, is possible.
Yeah, and that's where I also agree with you, Scott. I don't know about the idea of done. He is still under contract for this year. There is still probably some sort of financial investment in him for this year. Unless you think that the person you can get at sixth overall, or you make a move up the draft board to get one of the big three, I'm not sure whoever that drafted quarterback would be by the New York Giants should start over Daniel Jones week number one. And I don't really have a lot of belief in Danny Dimes by any means. So just because the New York Giants could be in play for a quarterback with that sixth overall pick does not necessarily mean, in my mind, that Daniel Jones has taken his last snap as the quarterback for the New York Giants. That remains to be seen. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for us today here on Football Full Circle, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. Scott will be here for the rest of the week, keeping you guys ready and informed with everything you need to know around the National Football League. It might be early in the offseason, but the NFL still remains king. We'll talk to you tomorrow, noon Eastern time, live right here on Sports Grid Radio.